I'm Adam Coop. I'm one of the pastors here. It's awesome to be here with you this morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You're good? You're great? You're fine? I'm okay. I'm all right. We're in a first series. The Arsonist Has Oddly Shaped Feet. I'm trying to get my diction and my words collected. We are in a series in 1 John. What did we talk about last week? Yeah. How about the week before? Yeah. How about the week before that? Jesus. Yeah. Well, 1 John, John in general just loves to speak about love. Can I take this down? Because I'm nerdy. And so we talk about love. I think we get to escape that out of this chapter, though. Out of chapter 5, I don't think we have to talk about love too much like we have in the past. Is everybody sick of talking about love? Has everybody got it mastered? Yeah. I've had many people since last week come into my office and try to flesh out this thing called love. I could just teach in the dark, man. It ain't that big of a deal. They don't need to see me. And it's beautiful because I'm glad that God's pressing in on people and saying, hey, look, this thing called love is not an easy task. I didn't think this would be that attainable right off the bat. And that's what you grow into. That's what you grow into through Jesus. That's what you grow into through your obedience through the Word. And so I'm glad you guys are pressing in on that. I'm glad you guys are looking into that with all your heart. It's beautiful. So this week, I don't really have to talk about it. This week, I got to teach fire and brimstone to you. I'm lying about that, but you guys really aren't excited about that. But I do get to teach Jesus to you. I get to teach Jesus to you in a way that's confirmed by not only men, but by the Holy Spirit as well. We talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit last week, didn't we? We'll probably talk about him more in the weeks to come. But we're in 1 John 5, 1 through 12. Let me read it to you. It's in the NIV. Everybody got their Bibles? If you do not have a Bible, I believe we have a few paper copies left. Is that correct, Brianna? Yes, we do. We're actually going to order some more up, but they should be out on the table there. And if you want an instantly free Bible, get on your iPhones, get on your Androids, flip phones, if that's still a thing, Kevin Easton. Yeah, get it on your phone and then you'll have a Bible instantly. But we're in 1 John 5, 1 through 12. Let's read it together. It says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome for the world, even our faith. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony of God, the testimony God has given them about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's kind of wordy, isn't it? It's kind of weird. Yeah? So he just gets done talking about love in chapter 4. That's how we finished it out. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. And I think he even said it one more time. Love one another. And then he goes into this whole thing about faith in Jesus and Jesus coming, and not only that, but coming by water, not by water only, but by blood. And what does that look like? Those are kind of weird passages. So we're going to try to figure that out together. Can we do that? Yeah? So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. How many of you are good at carrying out God's commands? Some of you are really good at it. Some of you are so good at it that you've lived a terrible life. A terribly judgmental life. Because you look at these commands and you look at these commands as a standalone thing, like this is all that God called me to do is just obey his commands, right? So much at the expense of it loving people. Some of you are not good at obeying commands at all. Is that everybody in the room? Yeah. Some of you look at commands and you say, well, these are more like guidelines made to be broken, and these aren't really applicable, and these aren't really in this day and age. These don't really apply because they're old, 2,000 years old, and God really didn't mean that to be a timeless truth, or God meant this to be a timeless truth, or we pick and choose and we have this a la carte kind of a buffet of Christianity, which is awesome. I like buffets. Does everybody remember? I think there was a place called, what was it called? I can't even remember it now. But they had this wheel of cheese in the middle of this buffet table. And they had one of those little cheese slicers that your mom used to have, kind of had the wire on it. Do any young people buy those things? Everybody, okay. It has one of those cheese slicers that everybody has. But I would love to just eat this wheel of cheese at this buffet. And I would just focus on this wheel of cheese and the roast beef. And then everything else to me was just, I could care less what was there, as long as I had my cheese and beef. But that's sometimes how we treat Scripture, which, as long as we got the cheese and beef, we're okay. But all, some of that stuff, we just don't care about it. We don't want to take, we don't want to live out, we don't want to have that be a part of our everyday life. And we wonder, when we step back from our life, where God is and why God hasn't blessed and why God isn't close. And he is, but he's saying, look, you're only taking bits and pieces. You're not really living out this full, beautiful thing. But some of us, we focus on these commands so much that we just lose this love piece. We lose the beauty of what Christianity, of what Jesus did for us, was ever supposed to be. And so to speak of what pleases God by obeying his commands can lead some people, you and I, to imagine that if we only just do enough, right? Or if we just do more, then obviously God's going to be pleased and somehow will gain his approval or favor. But pleasing God and keeping God's commands cannot be measured statistically. Pleasing God is the response to God's love in our lives. Thus, the commands of God are not burdensome, as he says. God's commands are not demands extraneous to us, imposed on us, to which we must measure up. In fact, John seems to deny that fulfilling the commands is possible by human power or initiative when he writes that we love because of God's prior love and confess Jesus by inspiration of the Spirit. Right? We talked about that last week. We talked about the only way that we're able to love people is by God first loving us and by God's love flowing through us to others back to him, right? Nobody remembers. That's right. That was in the notes last week that I didn't have. But I went back and I listened to myself to find out what I actually did say, and it was there. It was there. So any of this is possible because of God and because of Jesus and because he first loved us and because he said, you are my creation created to love me as I love you, and you're to love each other. So we are talking about love a little bit. This passage is beautiful because it talks about, it takes you back to where our faith really started, to where our hope really began, and that's with Jesus, right? That's exactly where it began. And not only Jesus, but we talked a few weeks, I don't know, a couple months back probably, about what gives the Bible authority, what gives these biblical authors authority to even write such a book that would even be held in our hands 2,000 years later, that we would see the life of Jesus, that we would be a part of the life of Jesus, that we would even be invited into that through what they've penned and what they've written and what they've experienced. And we said it was because of what? How did you guys pass college? It was because of their eyewitness account, right? Yeah? People walked with Jesus. People talked with Jesus. People ate with Jesus. People watched Jesus be taken. People watched Jesus be beaten. People watched Jesus be crucified, right? What's that? One man got blinded by him on the road. So these are eyewitness accounts that lead us to 2,000 years later. You guys are sitting here trying to figure out who Jesus is, what Jesus is, why Jesus is, and why does it even matter? Why is it even important to me? So their eyewitness account, but what I love about John is he goes so much further than that, and he talks about this account that's even greater than any of these authors' eyewitness accounts. He talks about God's account, which probably trumps any human witness, I would assume, right? But that's kind of scary. Jim Jones, scary. A little bit, right? You guys know who Jim Jones is? Yes. Jim Jones is a really cool dude who made some crazy stories up about, I believe, a comet, is it not? Was it a comet? It was not? Kool-Aid. It was Kool-Aid, but weren't they? Maybe I'm getting my cults mixed up. Some of them, they were going to ride a comet. That was Hale-Bopp. That's Hale-Bopp. All right, another crazy. But some of this, you know, these guys are saying, well, this is from God, obviously. God's called this. God's claimed this. And so follow me. Follow me. And then everybody's dead in a bed after they drank a cup of Kool-Aid and probably didn't get what they expected. So we have these dangerous stories. We have these crazy stories that people can claim are from God, but we also have this whole New Testament, Old Testament scripture of claims of these people and all these copies of copies of copies of these people writing down these stories of who God is and what God's done over the years, thus giving credit to the Word. But there's also a piece of the Spirit that comes and gives credit to this Word, because the Spirit was in every single one of these guys that were writing and penning these scriptures, that was affirming, that was giving credit to what we hold today. And so John addresses this. You guys hear music? Motorcycle? Squirrel. So John addresses this in this crazy, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. What's interesting is when you read that, you're kind of like, what is he talking about? He's kind of going off the rails. He's kind of getting a little crazy. When you dig into some commentaries, the most common theme that you see is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is testifying to the crucifixion of Jesus. If you guys remember the crucifixion story, they pierce his side when he's on the cross. And water and blood pour out of him, which I am no doctor, but I hear when those two separate, you are dead. Is that correct? Sure. You guys are no doctors either. But I play one on TV. Do you concur, doctor? I concur. So the Spirit is there, and so the Spirit from that point on at Jesus' death, because Jesus promised, when I go, there's going to be one that comes in my place, and he will live with you forever. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so you see this water and this blood separation, and instantly you see the Spirit come, right? You see this Holy Spirit, that's when he got activated, I guess. And so the Spirit then goes and is testifying to each and every one of us, to each and every one of these disciples, to each and every one who's ever picked up these scriptures and read and says, you know what? This is truth. This is not false. And the Spirit is who? God. And so God confirms yet again, look, man, this is real. This is truth. What you read here is truth. What you read here about Jesus' commands and about God's commands is truth. What you should hopefully be living out in obedience to these commands that even gives you the power to love one another, that gives you the power to love others and God, is truth. And that's what testifies to our heart. That's what speaks to us individually. That's what even led you here this morning, whether you know it or not, is this beautiful Spirit that testifies and confirms these words written in Scripture. And the Spirit speaks to every single one of us. I often get the question, how do you hear from God? How do you hear the Holy Spirit? And for me, it's going to sound freaky. It's an audible voice. Kind of weird, huh? It's an audible voice. And I don't know whether it's audible to only my heart, because I don't think my wife hears it when he speaks to me sitting in the same room together on the couch. Did you hear that? I don't think it's like that. But I hear very specific things from God. I hear very specific words from him and his Spirit. I hear very specific words from him and his Spirit about very specific issues and people within the church, about how I'm supposed to pray, or about what I'm supposed to say to people, or about how I'm supposed to help people. And I've got to check everything that I hear from the Spirit by the Word. You guys remember about testing the Spirit as Craig talked about? Yeah. The Spirit's not going to give you something contrary to what you read in Scripture. It won't contradict the heart of God, because the Spirit is God. And so this morning, what does this have to do with anything? What is this nature of who God is, of who Jesus is, of who the Holy Spirit is, of our need to obey God's commands and carrying out his commands and loving others and loving God better? What does this have to do with any of it? It has everything to do with your need for Jesus. It has everything to do with your need for Jesus. It has everything to do with my need for Jesus. Jesus came and he died. Actually, he lived before he died for about 33 years, and he walked this earth. And within Scripture, they pen a lot of accounts of what he did and what he said and how he lived. And those are very important to us today. Because what he does is he takes this thing called life and he turns it upside down and he says, you guys have it all wrong. You guys love people wrongly. You guys think you understand what love is, but you don't. And then we get to enter the scene and try to figure out what that means. We enter the scene and we get to try to live out, okay, God, if we've got this wrong, show me, show us how we love, how we live. And he continually does it through his word, through the confirmation of his word and how his disciples loved and lived and how he loved and lived and how people have followed him throughout the beginning of time and have lived their lives out in a very dangerous way from the beginning of time. In relationship to God. This has everything to do with your relationship with God. This love that he talks about, that John continues to hammer on, has everything to do with your relationship with God. This need and desire to love others has everything to do with your relationship. This backwards way in which we love each other in some of the hardest, most rawest forms, in some of the most not easy ways, in some of the ways that hurt, that are a detriment sometimes to us and to our families, to our safety, to our comfort, has everything to do with our relationship to God. And so your relationship with God this morning, where is it? As I talked last week, and even through tears, that's the bad thing about notes. That story was not in my teaching. About me being an angry man, and being quick to anger, which a lot of you don't get to see, but those closest to me do get to see that. I got a lot of stuff to work on. I got a lot of stuff to get down. I got a lot of commands that need obeyed. I got a lot of love that I still have yet to master when it comes to loving other people. And that has everything to do with my relationship to God. So some of you span the gamut this morning. Some of you don't have a relationship with God. Some of you have just come out of being invited by a friend or just come out of interest, so you think. But I think you're here because the Holy Spirit brought you here this morning. And that Holy Spirit is wanting to confirm within you this morning that this is truth. That this isn't a sham, this isn't a lie, this isn't anything but truth. And so the 5%, the it, is what are you going to do with this truth? How are you going to live out this truth? Because you have a choice to live out this truth or you have a choice to not. So what do you hear from the Holy Spirit? What do you hear this morning? Are you hearing you need relationship with God? Because that's all this is about, is your relationship with God and your Creator. That's all this book is about, is your relationship with God and your creator. That's all John writes about, is his relationship with God and your and our and the church's been and now relationship with God. So what are you hearing? What do you need to be faithful to? What do you need to be attentive to right now in this moment? In terms of your relationship. Maybe it's a start of your relationship. Maybe it's saying, I get you. You guys can take that. That's fine. Maybe it's a start, and that's beautiful. When I started, I didn't have it all figured out, and you won't either, and that's okay. But you gotta start somewhere, right? And that's saying, you know, God, I know I'm not where I need to be in terms of you and my relationship with you. God, and everything that I know that doesn't line up with who you are, I repent of. I forgive me for that. And repent means do a 180 and walk the other way. From whatever lifestyle you're living right now, for whatever you're doing that doesn't line up with Scripture, you do a 180 from all of that and you walk away. That's going to happen for you overnight. False. It's so easy. Just do it. But that's interesting, though, because this victory, he talks about victory, doesn't he? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes in Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't say you will achieve victory if you work hard enough. He doesn't say strive all of your life to keep his commands and hopefully at your death or the second coming, you will achieve victory. The victory's been won through Jesus, right? The victory's been won by what he did, by being obedient with his relationship with God, by being obedient to what he knew God needed him to do. And because of that, we get to claim that victory, and we get to do this 180. If we start there, for every one of us has started, we get to do this 180, and we get to strive to walk away from everything that we know that doesn't line up with Scripture. You will look back, some of you. I've heard of conversions where, man, it's done. Drunks have sobered instantly and have never had another drop of alcohol hit their lips. Meth addicts have prayed a prayer and said, God, if you get me out of this bender, I will serve you the rest of my life. And they sobered up right then and there. And then if you're anything like me, you know and you have this starting point at the age of 11 saying, God, I am broken from my sin. And you kind of do a 180, and then you do another 180, and you go right back. And then you might do another 180 and go good for a while, and then you go right back. That's to be expected. But that's not the end goal. Because we do have victory over our sin, as Scripture says. We do have victory. The victory has been won. And we have something that we can cling to. We have something that actually is attainable no matter what moment we're in that we feel that it's not. It is. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of God. That's nothing that we can claim. That's nothing that we can do. But that's Jesus. That's God. So some of you need to start this morning. Some of you have lived a good long life of living out commands with not very much love. And some of us continue to strive. I was amazed. I had a talk with my wife a few years ago, and I found out that my wife believed very much that heaven is a merit system. And she wasn't sure that she would ever make it there. And this is a woman I've lived with for now going on 14 years. And I was blown away by that, thinking, wow. You've lived in limbo of Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? The victory has been won. All we need to do is claim it. All we need to do is live out these commands. All we need to do is love God, each other. And so some of you may be good command followers. Some of you may be the best rule followers in the world, but your spirit seems empty and you are frustrated with where you're at spiritually. Or maybe this is, maybe I'm just talking in the wind and it's not doing anything for you. But God calls you to something greater than just being a command follower. He calls you to love. He calls you to love one another in the most dangerous ways possible. So the choice is yours. This is kind of a heavy teaching. I really didn't think this was going to be that heavy. But for those of you that have just played the game with Jesus for a while and said, I just don't know. Listen to the Spirit. Let him confirm it for you. Read these teachings and how these people have lived out love of other people and how their lives have been transformed and how God has brought that message so many years later, 2,000 plus years later, to us, to our ears. Ask some of the people sitting around you that have heard from God very specifically, who are selling themselves out for what God wants to do within their lives. It's not crazy talk. It's confirmed through what we read in Scripture, and it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And the beauty is, when you say yes to God, when you say yes to Jesus, and you start living as you were created to live, because make no mistake, God did create you. Your mom and dad may have helped. Boy, did they ever. Bunch of perverts. That's not what I was saying. Actually, it was. But God created you, and he created you for a purpose, and he created you to live within that purpose. So what will you do today? God, we know that you speak to every one of us, and we know that your Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it testifies to the things that we read in this word. And God, the more I guess, progress in my faith, for lack of a better term, God, the more I see truth in all of that. God, the more I read, the more I live, and the more I experience through your word and through your Holy Spirit and through the life that you cause me to live here and my family to live here in Laramie, you continue to confirm that this is truth. God, and so we're here. We're here in Laramie, Wyoming, proclaiming this truth, and people come and sit on a Sunday morning or throughout the week, and they want to hear truth, or they want to know this thing called truth, and they have lots of questions regarding this thing called truth, and that's what you've given us to do and answer for my family and I. But God, we know that it doesn't stop with me and my family. It goes on so much greater through all the people that knew truth before me, that this truth was able to even reach my ears. God, that this truth was being lived out by people in front of my eyes that made me even interested in what this looked like. God, that this truth was being lived out in its fullest forms. God, that would touch the heart of an 11-year-old kid. To even just start to try to understand God. You, Jesus. So God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Jesus coming not only by water, but by blood as well. God, by Jesus fulfilling his command your commands and doing what you asked him to do. And that was to die on our behalf, that we would be in right relationship with you, God. And so our task, our goal is to understand that, is to know that, is to live that, to follow out your commands in love for you and love for others through the love that you give us and that was sparked by Jesus' death and resurrection and life. So God, there's nothing that I can do any more than this, but just to speak about what you've done and to speak about who you are and to speak about you as truth. And so take this further than anywhere I could ever take it, God. Let the Holy Spirit just impact this room this morning. Let the Holy Spirit confirm within each one of our hearts that this is truth. Let the Holy Spirit confirm where we are weak and where we are not following commands. May the Holy Spirit confirm that, and may the Holy Spirit bring about that change within our life. God, thank you for John. Thank you for him not giving up on his people. Thank you for him continuing to define love over and over and over again. Thank you for him bringing it back around to what love actually is and how it even started and how it's even made available to us through your son, Jesus. So God, convict hearts, convict minds, convict spirits through your Holy Spirit and through the Word. I trust these people. Dig in, to listen, to hear, to be obedient. Thank you for truth. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.